top of the hour news. As it happens, when it happens, wherever it happens. Local, regional, and global. Only on Q95, the big station. Q95DA.com. Right on cue.
Good afternoon and welcome to the Midday News for today, Friday, May 29th, 2020. I'm your presenter, Richie Ferrol. Here are the headlines. Attorney Kara Shillingford dealt a crushing blow to attorney Anthony Astefan in a landmark court case, illustrating politicians are not immune to justice when engaged in acts contrary to the Constitution. Senior Magistrate Tamia Richards denied a bail to a businessman, doctor, and technician trio found with more than $1.7 million of cocaine, ammunition, two firearms, and $2,768 cash at two apartments in Tortola. And U.S. President Donald Trump warns the military could assume control of the protest response in Minneapolis, Minnesota, after the death of a black man named George Floyd, who died in police custody this week. These are our headlines. First up in the news, attorney-at-law Ronald Charles, who is one of the legal representatives for the Freedom Fighters Group, who were arrested on 28 May 2020 by police based on allegations of incitement in a video, sees the situation as an abuse of power by the authorities. In his interview on Q95 FM radio on Friday, Ronald Charles says the grounds on which the police officers carried out the arrests leaves much to be desired.
The situation is that the gentlemen were detained last evening or yesterday as it relates to the charges of quote-unquote conspiracy, or as they say, sedition. In the circumstances, they were again interviewed and they were released last evening pending further investigations. So by my own estimation, it appears that there may be one or two other persons that the police is alleging that is part of this group of young people. And I'm almost certain that one or two other individuals will be arrested based on the trend that I'm seeing that the police is adopting. As it relates to the specific issue at hand, I would not even venture, because I would put a question mark when you speak of video. I don't even know what you're speaking of. What I will say is that the young men were brought in for, they were interviewed, detained and interviewed. They were released pending further investigations. And on that basis, I am of the view that one or two other persons may be picked up in line of what the police is alleging against the young people.
Attorney-at-law Ronald Charles. Distinguished attorney-at-law Kara Shillingford has dealt a crushing blow to senior counsel attorney-at-law Anthony Astefan once again in a major court case, which she says illustrates that politicians and professionals who religiously support them are not immune to the hand of justice when they engage in acts contrary to the Constitution. Now, the Eastern Caribbean Supreme Court, ECSC, overturned the decision of the Dominica High Court to uphold a request for judicial review in a treating matter against some Dominica Labour Party candidates in the 2014 general election held in Dominica on Thursday.
Today, the Court of Appeal delivered a decision in favor of the appellant, in this case, that is Antoine Defoe, Mervyn John Baptist, and Edwin Courts Senval. Basically, the court held that the decision of the magistrate, that is Magistrate Packett, to issue summons when the appellants filed their criminal complaint against Mr. Skerry Tetal was a correct decision, and that the elected politicians are not immune to criminal prosecution.
Distinguished attorney-at-law Kara Shillingford, this is Q95 News. Meantime, on Thursday, 28 May 2020, again, the Eastern Caribbean Court of Appeal ruled in favor of Antoine Defoe, Mervyn John Baptist, and Endicott St. Val. This appeal concerned the decision of a high court judge to squash criminal complaints which were filed against members of the Dominica Labour Party for treating in the 2014 general election. Attorney Kara Shillingford says, in her opinion, this judgment is a victory for the people of Dominica, and a victory for democracy insofar as it underscores the principle that no one is above the law. Meantime, attorney Anthony Astafan, who was defeated by attorney Kara Shillingford in this ECSC decision, expressed surprise by the judgment of the distinguished jurists.
But I haven't yet read it. But my initial reaction to the Honorable Prime Minister is that we must expedite an appeal to the CCJ as soon as possible, because there was a dissenting judgment on it. Madam Justice Blenman dissented. I am firmly of the view, even though I have not read it yet, that the majority judgment is very, very likely wrong and needs to be subject to a review by the highest court of our land. So we are going to be proceeding to have the appeal application for the leave for appeal filed. I will ask for a stay of proceedings. I will ask the CCJ to expedite the hearing. It is unfortunate that we have had to deal with this, but that's the system of the rule of law that we have. You win some, you lose some, but when you lose some, you must focus on getting the matter heard by the Court of Appeal. And I think our appeal will have considerable merit, considering there was one dissenting judgment by the most senior member of the court. I am disappointed. I am very surprised. But at the same time, that's our system of justice. So to see whether my surprise and disappointed is vindicated, we're going to have to take the matter to the CCJ.
Attorney at Law Anthony Astafan. Head of the Dominica Library and Information Service, Fernando Raymond, says with every event, the Roseau Library has to go back to the drawing board, hinting at the COVID-19 pandemic and Hurricane Maria, which occurred in 2017. Raymond says there was advanced planning in terms of the Roseau plant and where exactly the directors wanted it to go in terms of the rebuilding of the Roseau Library. The library has been operating temporarily from the first floor of the former subway building on Independence Street.
It's a very small space, but it is a space. We will face challenges with that space, even within the COVID pandemic. So we will ask persons to be very kind with us, very gentle with us as we try to offer the services that you require, but we will certainly need your cooperation. So discussions will continue in terms of the plans for Roseau and rebuilding the Roseau Library. Again, with the COVID pandemic, we have to rethink a lot of things. Mm-hmm. The placement of sections, the type of washroom taps that are available for the washrooms, the types of doors that we place within the space. A new normal is going to make a lot of changes for us. So that has to go back. We have to go back to the drawing board to look at these fine details in terms of the Roseau Library.
Head of the Dominica Library and Information Service, Fernando Raymond. Director of the Pan-American Health Organization, PAHO, Dr. Carissa F. Etienne, says observing World No Tobacco Day on 31st May 2020 in the midst of the COVID-19 pandemic highlights the world's risks and vulnerabilities to the pandemic and many other health threats. This year's focus is on protecting the youth from the hands of tobacco, and she says if there was ever a good time to quit smoking, that time is now.
I have said before that our health systems must be resilient and adaptable in times of crisis. The dual challenge of NCDs and COVID-19 has certainly put our resilience to the test. Prior to COVID-19, 81% of all deaths in the region of the Americas was due to NCDs. And 39% of these deaths were premature. That means occurring before 70 years of age. As together we reconstruct and transform our economy, our social protection systems and health systems, we need to place critical attention to the prevention, early diagnosis, and management of non-communicable diseases.
Director of PAHO, Dr. Carissa F. Etienne. President of the Dominica Association of Industry and Commerce, DAIC, Mr. Kenneth Green, he says adversity produces a diversity of options. Kenneth Green says businesses in Dominica have for some time resisted offering of delivery and made-to-order services, and now that has changed. Green says businesses now can function with takeaway or pickup services much more readily because of COVID-19.
I think the other important lesson, and we've seen it locally, is that being able to consume local products, locally created and locally made products, is important, which means that government has to put a greater premium on building local production, which is something that when we negotiated on the aid bank facility, not for the 15,000 and below, but for the manufacturers and other businesses, and we spoke about the collateral requirements and getting more flexibility, that there was a willingness to listen, because they now recognize that if you cannot support certain local functions, then you're going to have to subsist the population even more. And so that's a lesson. Whether it will be implemented also depends on entrepreneurship. You know, there are risks, Cecil, in doing business in any climate, much less a climate as sensitive as Dominica.
DAIC President Kenneth Green. Prime Minister Roosevelt Skerrit says the world is in a very difficult situation and calls on everyone to do everything necessary to properly prepare themselves at the family, community and national level for this Atlantic hurricane season. The Dominican Prime Minister says though everyone hopes the storms do not affect Dominica, Dominican citizens must not act foolishly by being unprepared. He was speaking at a recent NEPO meeting.
We have to prepare. The private sector and civil society are encouraged to continue to partner with government. I have always said that while government will do what it has to do, it is incumbent on everyone to play his or her part in the development of Dominica, and in this case, with preparations for the hurricane season. I am therefore encouraging citizens to hold on to faith during these uncertain times.
Dominican Prime Minister Roosevelt Skerrit. At present, a new meteorological office is being built at GMET. Environment Minister Kosier Frederick says it will house the scientists who study the weather in order to better assist Dominica in preparing for various weather conditions. This project is funded by the World Bank and implemented by the Disaster Vulnerability Reduction Project, DVRP.
This project is a wider scheme of projects, which includes the water storage on the West Coast, the East Coast road network. But this is very important because, as you realize, that especially now we are getting into the hurricane season and we have to prepare for natural disasters and the like. So the new Met Office is being established as that facility to assist. Also, what we have realized is that this project started about a year ago. Well, actually in September last year, and we're hoping that it will be completed this year in September to have a fully operational facility that will house the necessary IT equipment. We will in there have a conference room. We'll also have a kitchenette and a stayover for a room for stayover of the officers. We also will have very close to the building a weather unit or the station itself, which will incorporate all of the necessary antennas and the like. So this building really is part of building the new resilient Dominica, the new dynamic Dominica.
Minister for the Environment in Dominica, Kosier Frederick. Meanwhile, Monitoring, Evaluation and Communication Specialist with the Disaster Vulnerability Reduction Project, Nadette Langford, says the biggest project, taking up about 62% of the DVRP's portfolio, is the East Coast Road Project.
As you have heard, the Prime Minister recently announced that we have concluded contract award, and we are now just basically in terms of mobilizing and getting the work started. Of course, the restrictions imposed in terms of border control may impact the commencement date of the East Coast Road project. But once the equipment, the workers, the contractor is allowed to come in, then we should see smooth operations from there. In full, the East Coast Road project is actually a project divided along four lots. However, we are proceeding with the priority lots, and we have we refer to it as phase one of the East Coast Road projects, where we'll start works at the Boadiab Junction to Castlebrus and then Castlebrus to Hatton Garden. It will entail a full and complete rehabilitation of the road to include the removal and changing of culverts, as well as the replacement of all bridges along the route. What should be noted, the full width of the road will now be about 6.5 meters wide to accommodate two-lane traffic throughout the entire stretch of road.
Monitoring, Evaluation and Communication Specialist with the Disaster Vulnerability Reduction Project, Nadet Langford. This is Q95 News. Senior Magistrate Tamia Richards today denied bail to a trio found with more than $1.7 million worth of cocaine, a quantity of ammunition, two firearms, and $2,768 cash at two apartments in Tortola. Businessman Corey Stout, a USVI native with belonger status, was charged alongside Dominican Republic natives Jordi Vargas and Dr. Yamel Medina Acosta. Now Stout was charged with possession of the proceeds of criminal conduct and landing without leave of an immigration officer, but pleaded not guilty to those offenses. Stout was further charged with breach of curfew. He pleaded guilty to that offense. The businessman, in the meantime, was also jointly charged with the two other accused persons for possession of a controlled drug with intent to supply to another, unlawful possession of an AR-15 rifle, as well as possession of 10.736 kilograms of cocaine and possession of a NATO 5.56 rifle with an obliterated serial number. They all pleaded not guilty when they appeared before the magistrate's court on Wednesday, May 27th. And authorities have released the 911 call in connection to the death of George Floyd, a black man who was seen pinned down in a video by a white police officer and who later died. The video of Floyd's death has now caused outrage in the city of Minneapolis and all over the country. Residents of the city have protested his death since Tuesday, though these protests have mostly been peaceful. On Wednesday, officials said a core group of people not from Minneapolis caused destruction. City leaders have called for the community to voice their outrage in a lawful manner.
Scenes of chaos unfolding in Minneapolis tonight. Eerie images of the police precinct in flames after protesters swarmed the building, igniting fires, staff evacuating beforehand. More than 170 businesses damaged or looted, multiple fires burning. It's the third night of protests over the death of George Floyd following a police encounter. The National Guard activating more than 500 soldiers, called by Minnesota Governor Tim Walz after violence last night. When officers fired rubber bullets and tear gas at the crowds, apparent looting at this Target store.
Turns out these guys are out here with machetes and shattered windows trying to keep looters out of the business because cops can't get in here.
President Trump weighing in late tonight on Twitter, saying in part, "I can't stand back and watch this happen to a great American city. These thugs are dishonoring the memory of George Floyd, and I won't let that happen. Tell Governor Walz that the military is with him all the way." Violence in Denver tonight, too, as hundreds took to the streets. One protester almost hit by a car. Another struck by a rubber bullet.
Man, right eye!
More than 40 people arrested after protests in New York. This latest outpouring of fury and frustration, the eruption of long simmering racial tensions in America. Ahmaud Arbery out for a jog. And George Floyd, black man confronted by white people, both ending in death. All caught on camera, providing an unfiltered and undeniable view of two Americas, two realities, deeply divided between black and white. Lene O'Neill knows that reality well. She penned a tribute to black mothers for The Undefeated.
What do they reveal about the state of America?
They don't reveal anything to black people because we've always known what country we live in because we've had to survive. And so what it reveals is the conversations that white America is not having.
And so what are those conversations that white America is not having, in your view?
I think white America needs to ask themselves, why is this acceptable?
The 10-minute video, difficult to watch, taken by a bystander Monday evening, showing the agonizing moments as George Floyd's life was ebbing away.
Mama!
Get up! We're getting the car right!
Face down on the pavement, crying out for his mother, who passed away nearly 2 years ago, a police officer's knee to his neck.
When I heard George Floyd calling out, Mama, Mama, I just knew that he was talking to me, right? Not that I am his mother, but I'm part of the sisterhood of Black mothers who, no matter the pain, no matter the injustice, that's our father, that's our brother, that's our husband, those are our sons. I would just ask the rest of America to try to be a Black mother.
We are just human beings. We just want to be treated with dignity and respect. I just don't have a lot of hope and faith in the system.
My colleague Alex Perez speaking with civil rights attorney Nakima Levy Armstrong, one of the co-organizers of the first march in Minneapolis. Armstrong says their protest was peaceful, walking 2.5 miles from the site Floyd was taken down.
We asked people to leave. The majority of people left, and some people stayed behind, and other people showed up after the protest and formed their own organic protest.
What would you say to people who live in the community, also Black people who live in the community, who now feel their neighborhood has been torn up?
No one wants anyone tearing up a neighborhood. The vast majority of demonstrators are nonviolent, peaceful protesters.
In a newly released transcript of the 911 call that led to George Floyd's arrest, a store clerk alleges a Black man paid for merchandise with fake bills and was awfully drunk. The 4 responding officers involved in the incident have been fired. No federal or state charges have been announced.
Give me and give the United States Attorney the time to do this right, and we will bring you justice. I promise.
And that's the midday news. Here's a recap of our headlines. Attorney Kara Shillingford dealt a crushing blow to Attorney Anthony Astefan in a landmark court case illustrating politicians are not immune to justice when engaged in acts contrary to the Constitution. Senior Magistrate Tamia Richards denied bail to a businessman, a doctor, and a technician trio found with more than $1.7 million of cocaine, ammunition, 2 firearms, and $2,768 cash at 2 apartments in Tortola. And U.S. President Donald Trump warns the military could assume control of the protest response in Minneapolis, Minnesota, after the death of a Black man named George Floyd, who died in police custody earlier this week. These are our headlines.
Top of the hour news, as it happens.